And open the House Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources and Rural Communities Committee. Today's May 5th, 2009. Going to open a public hearing on House Bill, no, Senate Bill. We're into Senate bills. Senate Bill 108A. And I'm going to ask Glenn Kolb and Lon Mackinnon.
Lori.
Oh, sorry, Lori. There's a missing dot over the eye. I got confused. I'm sorry. Come up and tell us what you've talked the Senate into. Unanimously, I noticed, too.
I'll let Lori go first.
Thank you. Good morning, co-chair members. I'm Lori Mackinnon with the Veterinary Medical Board, and I'm here asking you to support this bill. It corrects a loophole in our statute, which appears to allow any student of veterinary science to work on the public's animals without supervision of a licensed veterinarian and without accountability to the board. And our Senate bill corrects this, the SB 108-A corrects this by requiring that any student working in an Oregon veterinary clinic is part of an accredited veterinary school program and subject to the rules of the program and to supervision by a licensed veterinarian. We think it's in the public interest to ensure that untrained or inexperienced veterinary students practice on pets or livestock only under the same rules that apply to licensed veterinarians, certified technicians, and others who work in veterinary practices. Thank you for letting me come before you, and if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Well, good morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is Glenn Kolb. I'm executive director with the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association. And when this was brought to our attention, we conferred with both the Veterinary Medical Examining Board and the College of Veterinary Medicine at Oregon State University, because this also would impact them. Mm-hmm. And we certainly support the bill with the Dash A amendments. So we think it protects the value and integrity of the externship program, which is very important. And it really helps to protect the veterinary students and their training, as well as protect the public and their animals. So we encourage your support.
So nothing here, it sounds like, because of the educational program approved by the board or college, nothing here would affect what the OSU students do up at the Oregon Humane Society, or like I had my pet and dog for, he had a spleen removed 2 weeks ago at OSU, and the students were the front line of, you know, entry and discussion, and then they would go work with a physician, and then it was the students and the surgeon after that, and they, you know, they'd call me at 9 at night. They clearly were working like 16 or 18 hour days, both the doctors and the students, it seemed like. It was just crazy. But they were extraordinarily professional and helpful to us during a pretty scary moment. Nothing, because they're in an accredited program, that's the protection for
correct.
That.
Yes. And the program with, my understanding, the program with OHS, is that it would protect them as part of that externship program. That's what's really critical.
Yeah, that's quite a program, too. When they've got... I was watching how many spays and neuters they do. Well, spays, I guess, more than I didn't witness a neuter. But they were, I mean, I forget how many a day, but it was quite a lot on kitty cats particularly. Okay, any questions? All right, we're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 108A until we've got enough votes.
Thank you.
You bet. And open a public hearing on Senate Bill 185. Dalton, you want to chat with us about this one?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Dalton Hobbs, Assistant Director with the Oregon Department of Agriculture. Senate Bill 185 provides clear authority for the department to inspect, sample, and test imported as well as exported agricultural products. These tools, these inspection and certification tools, help encourage and determine levels of compliance with state and federal standards. And I have some written testimony. I'm sorry. Here, I should have provided that to you. I'm sorry. As you know, the distribution supply system for food in the United States and globally has expanded. Depending on what the food product is, there's a considerable amount of food that is imported as well as exported out of the country. And this provides clear authority for the agency to do inspections and certification of food products that are going into export channels.
Any questions for Dalton? I already asked mine before the committee, so I think I'm okay too. All right. Are you going to stay up? Are you doing some of these other ones?
I have 186 as well, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, you're it on 185. Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 185, open a public hearing on Senate Bill 186.
Mr. Chair, for the record again, I'm Dalton Hobbs, Assistant Director, Oregon Department of Agriculture. SB 186 provides some clarification on the purposes of the services as well as the authority of the Agricultural and Marketing Division within the Department of Agriculture. This piece of legislation adds both production and processing to ADMD's existing authority to provide assistance to both producers for an efficient distribution and marketing system. We have, in the last few years, expanded our role, going beyond developing just new markets, but increasingly our work is focused on maintaining market opportunities both in domestic and international markets through both sampling, testing, and certification, or other procedures or processes that requires work on the ground with producers. This concept or piece of legislation specifically addresses our authority and provides additional clarification. Specifically, it would provide the ability for the Ag Department or the Ag Development and Marketing Division to enter into agreements with governmental bodies as well as non-governmental entities for the purposes of market maintenance and development.
Questions on this one? Okay. Senate Bill 186. I'm going to close the public hearing on it.
Hey, Mr. Chair, how efficient this committee is when certain members are not
here. I do.
Okay.
I'm going to open a public hearing. Thanks, Dalton. On Senate Bill 187. And Lisa and Lauren. Lisa and Lauren show. Make you your own theme song. Have it ready for your next visit.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Lisa Hansen, Deputy Director with the Oregon Department of Agriculture, and with me is Lauren Henderson, one of our assistant directors. Before you is Senate Bill 187, and I think the best way for me to start out talking about this bill is to say it is very agency-centric. ORS 561 governs the business practices and the major authorities within the Department of Agriculture. Specifically, Senate Bill 187 addresses the issue upon which refunds are required to individuals who have paid for services of the department, whether that be a license, a certification, etc. Currently, the statute requires the department to automatically make a refund to individuals when they have overpaid by $5. Senate Bill 187 would increase that threshold to $25 when the department would automatically make the refund. We would still make refunds upon request to any individual for any amount if it was determined to be overpaid. This bill, what it attempts to address, is an opportunity to regain about 500 hours of staff time doing these refunds. During the last biennium, we issued approximately 500 refunds for $25 and under for a total amount of about, I believe it's $6,700. The actual cost of doing those refunds and staff time is something in the range of $15,000. dollars. And so we see this as an efficiency measure. To go along with that, we have looked at our business practices as well as our licenses and the forms that we put out to try and streamline those. We worked with the regulatory streamlining program to do that, to make them easier to understand and hopefully to reduce the errors when people apply for these licenses and services. And our first full licensing renewal, we're right in the crux of that. And so we'll know after May for the June renewal cycle if we've been efficient in addressing some of the confusion on the forms, et cetera.
Lauren, did you want to chime in? Or are you good?
Just for the record, Lauren Henderson, Assistant Director with the department. I want to echo, I think, what Lisa had said. This really was part of when we looked at our efficiencies in our agency. We're not going to be able to add more administrative staff, nor do we want to right now, certainly. And so this, along with the forms revisions, ultimately for us is to get back those 500 hours. It's very clear to us our licensees would like us to process their licenses faster. It takes, during our heavy licensing season, a couple of weeks to get through 20,000 licenses in the time frame that they all come in. We process about 90,000 licenses in a biennium. We're the second largest agency for that. That's really important for someone like a pesticide applicator who cannot go to work until they receive that license. So if they're hired by someone and waiting for their license, and it takes us time to get through there, and we try to bring those people to the top of the pile, but even that can take several days. And so we want those people obviously back at work as fast as we can, and this is really about getting those hours back.
I have a couple questions.
Yeah, that was on the other bill. Well, when we get in a work session, I'll ask him. President Van Orman?
Thank you, Chair Clem. On this particular, I'm an applicant, let's say. I'm applying for a license. Is there some indication that if I make an error and it's in my favor, that I will not get refunded?
Representative Clem, Representative Van Orman. We're going to have to, if this goes through, work on making it known, and we will even probably put something on the license application about that, that you would not receive a refund if it was under $25 unless you asked for it. In the process to do that, I anticipate, we don't currently have administrative rules around this process. I envision that we will probably make some, so it's very clear. Now, I think your real question was, how would you know if you made an error? You wouldn't on our end. We would not probably go out and tell people that. But we do have, with our field staff, oftentimes they can, when they work with a particular applicant, some of the fees are very complicated. Sometimes it's discovered in that process. I do want to make it clear, if we make an error and it's our error, we will refund it, the money, no matter what the amount is. This is not, we don't want to keep those, and we haven't historically. So.
Follow-up?
Yep, follow-up.
So it makes it very clear to me that that the process is not simple. I just don't send something and it's $95. There's obviously built-in complexity, and I guess the question I have is why? Why are these things so complex? And I'm assuming we're partially responsible.
Chair Clam, Representative Van Orman, let me give you an example in our nursery program.
Oh, great.
Nursery licenses are based on gross sales, and so there's a gradient fee based on gross sales, and there's a requirement to do calculations to get to the actual fee paid.
Okay.
And so these vary throughout the department with the multitude of licenses and programs and the complexities within them for how these are calculated. And some businesses can require more than one license. Like a grocery store, they would have a license for their meat counter, for their dairy section, for their bakery, et cetera. And so when you add to those complexities, the opportunity for an applicant to make an error is there.
And another follow-up. I just want to say that having read the report on pesticide reporting, and the problems entailed with that on input errors, It's not surprising you have errors on licensing.
Okay. Representative Byer.
Thank you. You say you have about 500 refunds that are under $25, and that's out of how many refunds do you do? Do you have an idea of how many refunds you do every year? I assume that's yearly.
Chair Clem, Representative Byer, I don't off the top of my head right now. The refund process is an ongoing process given the volume that we have, and I can tell you just yesterday I went downstairs and someone had sent in two $10,000 checks. And so it happens. I think people get busy and, you know, want to get that off. So I can certainly get back to you on the volume if you'd like that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a nice visit from the staff members yesterday, and I expressed a concern that I was encouraged to bring up in committee today, so I will. Why can't we credit the overpayment to next year's licensure?
Chair Clem, Representative Wingard, thank you for that question. So after our conversation yesterday, we went back and visited with staff. This specific statute that we're talking about speaks directly to refunds. We're unclear statutorily about carrying that money forward. The other challenge that we have is many of these businesses, and the example we were given were 7-Elevens, change hands quite readily. And so the person who would be owed the refund in 2009 is very likely may not be the same owner of the establishment in 2010. So I think having this ongoing regular refund and keeping people square from year to year, or having the threshold for where it's viable, is how I, going back and looking at the statute more and looking at business processes, believe it was meant to work.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
I appreciate that, and I understand that there is a level of complexity here, but I am uncomfortable with the idea of the government keeping funds that people don't owe, however small that may be. And we do have an unclaimed property division in the Division of State Lands. And if it's possible or you need authority to just be able to transfer those small amounts over to them so they can be then listed on the website for people to claim, I'd certainly be interested in that. I think in general, the level of complexity that produces the errors is on us. I have to learn to say us now as a representative of this government. And we made it that way. And I think that it's important for us to take responsibility for that, and I think the burden is on the government. So if a person has made an error and that there's a general expectation that money would either be credited to them or be available for refund, whether it's directly refund or simply just transferred over to the unclaimed property division where they can access it. Just in general, the idea of capturing the money, I'm just not comfortable with. And if it's a matter, we talked yesterday about the idea that the computer systems just may not allow that. That's, I think, another encouragement for us to get computer systems that are modern and would allow us to do very simple things like this. Thank you.
No. Any other questions for the panel? Professor Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do, I'm intrigued by the sending the money to the unclaimed property only in the sense that I think that could be a simple process, and that goes to the basic school support fund over time. So it is a so actually a very large number right now in there. And so I think it might have some other benefits if we were going to change to $25 and that money be shifted. I'd be more inclined maybe than not giving the money back, because I agree. And I also actually do like the idea, if we can figure out an easy way to credit it. I don't think the 7-Eleven owner that sold his business would mind the next guy receiving the benefit of that $25. Personally, I don't think it would bother him. And he could actually put it into the cost of his business when he sold it. So he says, you're going to get $25 back. So it could be cheaper for the person trying to buy the business, or more, depending. So I just, some of those are interesting ideas, and I think it would make people feel more comfortable about government in general when they realize that. I mean, I understand that the sending a check back nowadays, the process of doing that costs less money, and it can be more than the money we're sending back. It's we heard on the floor yesterday these settlements where you get a check for 39 cents, which probably took $3 or $4 to process, makes little sense to me. But there is a deterrent issue, which I think is true in that other case. In this case, when the answer comes out that they owe a little bit more money and that we can figure out a way either to credit it or otherwise, it certainly sends a nice message that the government is not trying to benefit from problems that are arising. So I just encourage you to look at some of those ideas. But I'm okay with the bill, actually. But I just think we need to keep looking at ways to do that.
Do you want to comment on what you said?
Mm-hmm. Let's do that in a work session.
Okay.
We're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 187 and open a work session on Senate Bill 108A. This is the bill that allows veterinarians approved to supervise participating students. It came as an issue when there was at least a situation where a student wasn't being particularly well supervised, and it was unclear that there was statutory authority really in force in that situation. So this makes it clear. They worked with OSU to make sure it wouldn't interfere with any of their externships or students who work in the hospital. And we had nobody opposed.
Mr. Chair, is it really necessary to drag us back through all that lengthy testimony?
Just the painful... Yeah, no, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. Who wants to start making motions today?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Lincoln.
Move House Bill...
Senate Bill.
So I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me and getting my mind. I would move Senate Bill 108A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lincoln. Moves Senate Bill 108A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Roblin.
I was disappointed to see that my previous chair of this building, who's now a senator, was the only no vote. It surprised me. On this bill in the Senate.
No, excused.
Oh, excused. I missed that. Yeah. I just looked inside the no. Yeah. Okay, I'm better now.
Yeah.
You feel at ease.
I'm at peace.
Okay. Any further discussion? Senate Bill 108A, Representative. And clerk will call the roll. Pass the Senate unanimously.
Representative Byer?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
Aye.
Representative
Roblin?
Aye.
Representative Shoffler?
Excuse.
There's no excuse.
Cut himself
short. Representative Winger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Van
Orman? Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Chair
Klein? Aye. Bill passes, sent to the floor. Consent calendar.
I think it's possible this one is. I mean, it was unanimous over there.
Any objections? Not, we'll place on the consent calendar. Senate Bill, we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 185.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wingard.
I move Senate Bill 185 to the floor as a due pass recommendation.
This is Representative Wingard moves Senate Bill 185 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? This is the one that had the
this
one.
This is the one. Yeah, no, I knew it. Eleanor was.
This is the one. What?
Had both has voted no. Only.
Oh.
My vice chair, who I trust.
He's probably kind of like me on the one world government theory and a little odd about any kind of contracts with foreign governments, but. They seem to have convinced everybody else that's not what's going on here.
They did have a hearing.
The one question I did have was the there's a revenue on the impact statement. There's a revenue impact of like $265,000 in service contracts that would come in, but then there's a notice of no revenue impact. So I don't know. One is like a month later than the other one. I assume it doesn't have to go to revenue since we're not really raising revenue, it's just cost recovery. And there's a lot of nods. So any further discussion? Senate Bill 185. All right, clerk will call the roll.
Representative Fire?
Aye.
Representative
Gilliam? That one world government thing really froze him.
And he didn't hear all the testimony earlier today.
I had some questions on this.
Aye.
Representative Roblin?
Aye.
Representative
Shaw?
Representative
Winger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Van Orman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Chair Klein?
Aye. Motion passes. Senate Bill 185 is sent to the floor. Senate Bill 186. Three, Carrier. The last one, I'm sorry.
Consent calendar.
Consent calendar.
No vote in the Senate.
Or Gilliam.
Objections. Seeing no objections, I'll place it on the consent calendar. Senate Bill 186. Open a work session on it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wingard.
Would you move Senate Bill 186 to the floor with a due pass recommendation?
Representative Wingard moves Senate Bill 186 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? This one was unanimous. The only thing I would say that I said privately is I would hope that the maintenance of markets in this state are given, I would say, more attention, but depends where the market leads to exporting or importing. But I think there's, if we could ever get serious about Brand Oregon and a variety of things, I think we would actually have a lot larger in-state market. It's certainly been growing through farmers markets and other things, but I think the state needs to, through farm to school and the local food preferential purchasing, institutional purchasing, and other things, figure out how to grow more and eat more locally and not export as much, because the prices would be good and people would be happy to sell to Oregon. But we got to get our eaters to buy more first, because that's the way the market works.
I just don't think people appreciate pears that much.
I was telling them I don't think it's going to change on pears. It's a foreign taste for pears, so I've given up on that. But they should buy other people's.
Okay.
I'm eating them.
Well, I won't call you a foreigner, but
and I want Oregon strawberries back because they're sweeter and better. But I'm having a hard time getting there too.
That's
a
dark four berry. Okay. Representative Schaffler, we're on Senate Bill 186, passed the Senate unanimously, no opposition here, seconds away from voting.
I vote aye.
Okay, we'll call the roll.
Representative Fire?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
Aye.
Representative Roblin?
Aye.
Representative Schaffler?
Aye.
Representative Winger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Van Orman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Chair Klein?
Aye. Motion passed, or the bill sent to the floor. Any objection to the consent calendar for this one?
Only unless you wanted to make a big deal about where we should have more in-state buying of our own products on the floor. So
I don't. I'll do that on other bills.
Okay.
Yeah. You want the consent calendar?
Consent calendar. Senate Bill 187. I think maybe we're going to wait on this one and talk about see what the deal would be on transferring things and some of the other ideas. Can't have life be too easy for poor Department of Ag employees, so I'm going to carry over the work session on Senate Bill 187. How about a rule suspension to allow folks to vote on the earlier bills? So moved.
Made it. So moved.
Representative Krieger moves we suspend the rules for the purpose of allowing some of our colleagues to vote on earlier bills.
I think the only one that missed any was Representative Schaffler.
Yeah, because I was there.
Did we get Gilliam, though, on 108? We did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you, Clem.
You're getting nailed down.
Any objections? Thank you, Clem. You just call me Claire. I'm sorry.
That's a good name.
Affection.
I had an uncle, Claire.
Representative Schaffler, we need to record your votes on 108, 185, and 185.
I apologize for being late, Mr. Chair. It's very unlike me. I cut myself shaving, and it would not stop bleeding, and it still hasn't. But I vote aye on both bills. Thank you.
And we got everybody else on everything else?
Excellent. Everybody down on record.
With that, we're done with our business. 39, well, we started late, too, so I'll adjourn our committee.
They're waiting for you over.
You get older and you're
Representative Schaffler.
God, I